Hey everyone, Sean Pennington here from Let Me Talk About It. And today's discussion, we are going to talk about something that I know a little bit about that will help you out there for men. And it goes into the loss of a child. And I know that personally having to deal with the loss of a child, no matter what the age of the child can be, is very devastating as you go through life and trying to figure out, you know, how do you cope with it? How does your loved ones cope with it? If you have a spouse, it's, you know, how do you deal with it from a spousal perspective? How do you give them comfort? And as men, we tend to bury feelings that we don't like to really share feelings. So in this episode, we're going to go ahead and talk about what we can do to share the feelings of yourself, not only to be honest with yourself, but also to get an understanding of what you need to do in order to be honest with your spouse, be honest with maybe other children that you have, and show them that it's okay to grieve in a way that is healthy and is also able to process emotions better for you. And I go to look at everything, and this is just from a personal perspective. I believe that there are two types of people in the world when it comes to displaying emotions. You have your basic introverts and extroverts. And of course, we all know that if you look in a psychological area, that introverts, and this isn't just in processing emotions, this is just your normal day-to-day, you know, you go to a store or anything, and you know who your introverts are. They're the people that are very secluded. They don't really talk a lot. And I don't want to say shy, because there are people that are introverts that are more introvert as workers go, but whenever you get them among other people, they tend to become extroverts. However, that is one category, is the introvert. It's the people that process everything in, they don't process everything out. The other category is the extrovert. Now, extroverts, I believe, like I said, this is just a personal thought, are the people that you can imagine seeing a movie, and in the movie you always have like a scene from a murder, and you know, you've seen a funeral scene, and you always have that one person who's sobbing uncontrollably, and no matter what you do to them, for that person, they can't negate the feeling and they can't quiet themselves down. That is an extrovert as far as the way that they process their emotions. And studies have shown that women are more extrovert when it comes to emotions, especially whenever it is consoling or, you know, death or anything of that nature. Men, on the other hand, not so much. We are more introverted. We don't know. It's not that we don't know how to express emotion, because we do. And I believe that when you look at everything in the grain of scale, when you look at everything, men tend to become isolated. We aren't one to talk a lot, and I expressed this a little bit in last episode. We process more whenever we're with hunting buddies, or we're with our close friends or bowling buddies, whatever the case may be. But when it comes to having that talk with, you know, a good close personal friend, and men generally don't have that openness that women have, and I think that in today's age, we need to open up more. We need to show that not only can we process emotion, but we can explore ways and avenues that allow us to speak freely about it. And I wasn't one to I'm really not even now. I process emotion, but into a different degree. And I've experienced, like I said, it doesn't matter what age of a child that passed away, it is still a child that passed away. And when you bury a child, it's very hard to do. And I can tell you, through clinical data, I can tell you that psychologically with men, the grief responses it's different, and you can look it up online, is that the mourning of a child, it includes depression and anxiety and symptoms like stress, because the body has to find a way to cope. And coping mechanisms, you know, you tend to bury everything down. And one of the characteristics that I personally have when it comes to dealing with loss is actually, I just want to work. And the thing that I've seen whenever, not only when my son Jonathan passed away, but whenever my father passed away, one of the things I really just wanted to do, I just wanted to work. And that was my mechanism to coping with the loss of somebody very close to me. And no matter what it is and who it is, when it comes to losing someone you love, coping with loss is always going to be difficult. So you look at, after a loss of someone, especially a child, you've seen it in movies. The first one I can think of is Pet Sematary, after they lose the son and everything, and then there was, you know, marital problems there. And that is always a risk whenever you actually have a loss of a child, is the, you know, it's an emotional blow. It's something that it can lead to that distress in your marriage. However, that is not the reason for it, you know. So whenever it comes to things like that, you have to take a minute to step away and look back and really think about what happened. And I've always been one, I never have ever blamed God for what has happened whenever it's been a death, because in the case of my son, you know, he could have grew up in a worse life than what all, you know, I'd ever thought about. And with my father, whenever he passed away, he was struggling with some physical ailments already. There were things that he had done working in collision repair for 40 years, and what would have happened if he would have still remained alive, even if we would have been able to go through with everything? You know, would his life have been better? The other emotional tolls that it does take, and a lot of men will think about, is suicide, and it is a very hard one, especially if you don't have a way to process the way you talk with somebody. And I'm going to tell you that, like I said, personal experience with talking through everything with somebody, it doesn't have to be someone that, you know, a therapist or anything. It is that close personal friend that you can confide in, and they're not going to hold it negative. They're not going to be the ones that are going to judge you, because a true friend and a true close personal friend will listen to you no matter what is going on. And in my life, I have talked with people, and I don't know if it's because I've gotten a little bit older and I've learned things that my dad has taught me, but I've learned that becoming more soft-spoken, really thinking about things, has really helped me. Listening to podcasts and learning more mentally about myself is something that helps. And as I'm sitting here and we're talking about everything, I've researched some stuff that a lot of people, you know, try to figure out and talk about when it comes to, you know, losing a child. And I read an article on Fatherly, and it was by Joshua Creech, and the processes in it's hard. It's stuff that you really don't think about. So if you haven't had a child that's passed away and you are a father, you know, imagine that loss. What do you feel? That is something that you have to really sit and look at. And there's a quote in it that a PhD by the name of Deborah Carr has on it, and she says that the death of a child is considered the single worst stressor a person can go through. And she is the chair of the sociology department at Boston University. She goes on to say, parents and fathers especially feel responsible for the child's well-being. So when they lose a child, they're not just losing a person they loved. They're also losing the year's promise of how they had to look forward to. So when you really sit and think about it as a man, and you really start trying to understand and process feelings, man, I can tell you that everything, and everybody says everything happens for a reason, and, you know, it's according to God's plan, or, you know, whatever your religious belief is. I believe everything does happen for a reason. I believe God has made everything for a reason. But God also gives us a choice on what we do in life. And that is, it becomes an area, there's a lot of theological, there's a lot of philosophical beliefs in it, and there's lots of arguments on that. And that's not the reason for this podcast. But when you look at it from a perspective of a father, especially if you're a father that is, you know, a very religious person, and you go to church, and you just don't understand why. The why is never, ever the reason. The why is never the question. It is because ultimately it is within the, you know, God's plan for being. That is to say that would that child lived a, you know, very successful life and maybe developed, let's say, a cure for cancer. It's a good possibility. It could have happened. You don't know that. On the flip side of it, could that child have suffered something that would have made their life so debilitating that maybe they lived and they end up taking their own life because of the pain that they're going through? That could be pain mentally, physically, emotionally, being cut off from family and friends. You don't know. And so, like I said, when I'm sitting here talking about all this, and I think about everything that's happened, as a father and as a son, you know, like I said, I've lived both of the worlds. I've understood that the reasons everything happens. I also understand that we are given choices in life. Ethically and morally, we know that there's right and there's wrong. We all know that. And we also know that, let's just say for sake of argument, that the child passed away, OD'd on drugs. That child had a choice. They'd done drugs or they didn't do drugs. Now, on the flip side of it, we also look at how did they go to that point in their lives where, let's say, they were addicted to heroin, they're addicted to cocaine or methamphetamines or opiates, and how did they actually get there? Did their past, which means looking at you as a father, or let's say even as a mother, if you're listening to the podcast as a mother, let's say you have to take a hard, long look at your life. Was there something that you did or didn't do in the well-being of the life for that child? Let's say you, like, let's say everything was fine. Let's say you raised the child to the best of your being. It was a non-abusive home, and the child done well in school. They, you know, they made good grades, and we're going to start with that one. We'll say they you shelled them in life. They didn't do anything. We'll give you three examples. So in this example, now you have this child that they can graduate from high school and they're getting ready to set off in college, but now they have a naivety in life because, guess what? My parents decide, hey, I'm going to shell them. They shielded me from everything in life that could have possibly harmed me. And it's not that the parents shielded them. Let's say that the parents explain things to them, but they never let the child experience them. So now you get that child. This is, again, example A. Child goes, and they go to college and everything. And as a freshman, it is very hard as a, you know, freshman, 18 years old. You know, you're getting invited to do a lot of things, and there's a lot of peer pressure. And let's say something happens and they end up becoming addicted to a drug or addicted to alcohol, and you know, something catastrophic happens and that child passes away. That's example A. Example B, let's say that the child has been in a home, they haven't been shielded really from anything. They have the technology advances like we do in modern world today. So they get to see things. They get to kind of experience them throughout high school. And they do get punished by their parents. That, you know, the normal parents, oh, you get grounded, da-da-da-da-da. We'll take your cell phone, whatever the case may be. I haven't had a teenager in a little while, so it's kind of hard to, you know, see that. But based off of what I see and what I've seen around with kids today, technology is the biggest portion of their lives. So you take away the phone and, you know, you pretty much take away their life for like a week. Okay, so that child, in example B right now, has went through high school. Yeah, they tried a little bit of weed here or there. You know, they smoke vapes here and there. And now they're in college. And just like in example A, the child, you know, ends up becoming dependent on a drug and ends up ODing during spring break. Let's just say that. And now we're going to go to child C. And child C, let's say with child C that they lived in a very abusive house, a very abusive home, apartment, wherever the child may live. It could be with one or two, both parents. One parent could be in jail, one parent maybe raise them by themselves. They could have older siblings and they're physically and mentally abused, and we won't go into the other part of the abuse, but let's just clarify that that's not in this discussion. But the main two abuses are there. So now the child has become kind of psychologically scarred. They started demonstrating, you know, tendencies of, you know, PTSD and living in an abusive household. So they start drinking at an early age. They are numbing themselves by using drugs every day throughout high school. They end up failing out of high school. They don't get a chance to go to college. And they live 10 years down the road and decide, you know, enough is enough. And then they decide that they're going to finally get married. They found their love that, you know, they've been courting for 10 years or five, let's just say five. And they get married and they start having a kid. But during the, you know, while the baby's, you know, in the pregnancy stages, that your child passes away. So now you look at all three examples, A, B, and C, and you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, how did I live my life, and how did I raise my kids? Could I have raised them any better? Obviously, in example A, you can't say anything. I mean, you shielded them. So maybe as an example A is, hey, if I would have had, you know, a little bit more quality time with my child, maybe then I could have, you know, gave them a little bit more experience in life on what will, won't become a danger to them as they get older. Example B, you didn't shield them, but they chose to experiment and they chose to go down that road. And you still feel bad because something, you know, what else could you have done? And example C is, you look at it, you would think, well, what could you have done different? How could I have raised my child different? And did my circumstances for raising my child numb them as they got older, decide to have a child, and then they pass away? So then you lay grief on yourself. And that is part of losing a child, is the grief is, could I have done something better? Could I have done something that would have made them, you know, a little more open-minded about life? What would have happened if they would have looked left and not right, crossing the street and not get hit by a vehicle? You know, maybe they wouldn't have went to a friend's house and decided, hey, we're going to try a new drug because weed wasn't doing it for them anymore. And they needed a new high to numb them out. And so they pick up heroin and they inject it. You cannot make that choice. And men, I'm telling you right now, you cannot be guilty if you've done everything in your life to make the child feel better. And if you wanted them to think of you as a friend, this is not being mean in any way, shape, or form. But a parent raising a child, at least until they are old enough and cognitive enough to understand everything, we are not their friend in the sense that they can go to parties and stuff. That is not a parent. A parent instills the discipline, the knowing of right and wrong, and hopefully that the child understands that. And I mentioned that at the end of my last podcast about, you know, instilling the seeds for your child, and hopefully as they get older they understand the wisdom, because your children are going to make friends in life. Even now, us as parents, we make choices and we make friends. We may have never known somebody, and you get in an elevator and you start talking. Next thing you know, you're down having, you know, a snack or something, and sitting down just discussing, you know, social events of the modern world. And that's us. But as parents, we're not in that category of friends. You can be friendly and you can be nice. You don't have to be rude when it comes to instilling, you know, some kind of discipline or talking with your kids. That's not what it's about. Being open and being respectful is one thing. Being friends with them and not knowing the boundaries, and that is a problem in the world. And being at 40 years old and a teenager 30 years ago, boundaries were different now than what they were then. If I had done a third of the things of what these kids have done today to my parents or people at work, I don't know what my dad would have done to me. I don't know what my mother would have done to me. Because that was a different age. And even, let's go 50 years ago, 60 years ago, it's different than what it was 20 years ago. So, each generation has its own sense of discipline, and has its own sense of evolving. And right now, the way the modern world has evolved, it is evolving so quickly that it's hard for us as human beings, as parents, to understand and actually evolve with times, because times change as fast as the technology around us. And I know I went off on a tangent when it comes to talking about men's health and what it is with men and our well-being. But I've looked at a lot of things, and I've read different things, and like I said, I've read from I've read different articles. And like I said, the best one that I found, again, it was through this Fatherly. And like I said, you can read the article if you go through fatherly.com, or if you even search men's mental health and losing a child. And so if you look through it, like I said, there's a lot of different things that it talks about. And one of the psychology professors out of the University of Queensland in Australia, her name was Fiona McCallum. She said the death of a child brings with it a range of different ongoing challenges for the individual and the family. Every day, questions such as how many kids do you have can trigger intense distress. And she goes on to say, some people do find ways of living with the loss. Others struggle to find meaning in life. And as we start getting ready to end the podcast today, men out there, yeah, the first part of that, yeah, it's going to trigger. It's going to trigger you to be upset for a while. And you're not going to know how to really respond. Over time, I can't say it gets easier. Losing a child, not being able to see a child, you have ways of being able to understand the coping of it, at the same time not being able to see them, to feel them, to brush their hair. It's the same as losing a parent. It's the same as losing a sibling or a family member or even a close friend. So you look back on it and you really don't want to have that intense trigger. You don't want to get upset because maybe it's somebody who doesn't know anything about what's happened in your past. So, men, what I want you all to do today with it is I want you all to sit, especially if you have lost someone and you've lost a child, and if somebody were to come up and ask you, how many children do you have, and they don't know anything about you, don't get upset with them, but take a moment, take 5-10 seconds, and I know it's going to kind of seem like an eternity, and it's going to seem like an eternity to that person that's asking you that question, but I want you to really sit with them give them that few seconds before you answer, because A, that's going to help you cognitively sit and prepare your answer in a way that it's not going to upset that other person who asked you that, because they don't know. It's like anything else. If you've ever been asked something that you don't know and you give the wrong answer and that person looks at you upset because you done something wrong and you didn't know it, how did you make you feel? And that's the same thing with that other person. So, like I said, this podcast, like I said, all month has been devoted to men and mental health. This one was just a little bit harder, especially as Father's Day is actually this coming Sunday, and as I would get ready to prepare this podcast, and we'll have it dropped down by this evening. So both realms can be felt in this. And if you've had a father who's passed away and everything, take a moment and, you know, think about them. Think of the good things. Think of the good times that you had with them. And as a child, as a parent, and you've lost a child, think of the times that you had that were good in their life. Because I would imagine that any child's last words, especially if they're older and cognitive, would be, "I love you, Mom and Dad." And so this is going to end this podcast for today. I want to thank you all for your time. And like I said, take a moment this weekend coming up. If your father hasn't passed away, just sit with them for a while. And just ask them how they're doing. And actually genuinely sit and listen to them. And make them feel loved. Until then, until next week, my name is Sean Pennington. And let me talk about it.